Hi, welcome back to a new episode of Shut Your Face. Yes, I have kind of changed some things around, but it's still just as cool. Anyhow, if you're not a member of our Patreon, what are you doing? It's really cool. So head over there and become a member so you can get early access. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast, and let us begin.
This is Kurt.
Hey, Kurt, this is Brianna. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
I'm good. It's Monday.
It's Monday, huh?
How long have you been with APHA? You've been with them for a while?
Yeah, I've been with them for about 9 years now.
Oh, wow. That's a long time.
In this industry, yes, that is a long time.
Because we've kind of spoke about this before. You guys are now pretty much smack dab in the middle of the stockyards, correct?
We are right in the middle of the stockyards. In fact, we were actually the first company that moved into what's termed as Mule Alley, you know, which is kind of the center of the stockyards now. Our particular office itself is about, oh, I'd say maybe, you know, 50 yards from the Drover, Hotel Drover, you know, which has become probably one of the most prominent hotels within the Fort Worth area and also been ranked as one of the top hotels in the country over the last year.
Oh, wow.
Or so.
Yeah, because we touched on this before, how big of a difference it's made for APHA to move to this new location, because what, didn't you say like 6 million people walked through the stockyards last year?
Actually, last year it was 9.2 million people.
Jesus
and
Christ.
This year is probably going to exceed 10 million people. We had a location that was probably about 7 miles north of where we are located right now. And there we had our own corporate office. We've been in there for several years. And we might see, you know, I don't know, you know, I'll stretch it to a big number, and that would have been maybe 1,000 people a year. Well, now in this particular location, we see probably somewhere around 110 to 120,000 people in our office alone every year.
Holy cow. That's crazy.
So it has made a huge difference, and the exposure that we've gained from moving into this new location is just out of this world. I mean, we were very fortunate when we actually moved into the stockyards and did that whole thing that we were able to bring some bronzes that we had in front of our office. It's called the Legacy Bronze, and it basically consists of 4 paint horses. You know, it's got a stallion, 2 mares, and a baby, and that's a bronze that was done, you know, many years ago, was in the front of our office, but we were able to bring that and basically have it centered in the middle of Mule Alley, and so it is probably photographed more than anything else within the stockyards by people standing in front of it. You know, it's just continuous all day long.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, Fort Worth was already a tourist attraction, for lack of better terms, prior to Yellowstone and kind of the Hollywood highlight and all the things that have happened in the last 5 or 6 years. So that, do you think that definitely helped heighten the exposure plus the location, or do you think it's just a general growth of Fort Worth and the Western lifestyle, just a general growth?
Oh, I think it definitely has helped. I think the general growth is a big factor also. You know, for instance, the movie 1883, you know, that was kind of a spinoff of Yellowstone. And, you know, prior to that, that actually a good portion of that was filmed right here, basically in the stockyards, you know, kind of on the it was filmed right here in the street, and they basically redid, you know, some of the fronts of buildings and things of that nature, which still exist today. That was, that was probably about 3 years ago that was done, 2 or 3 years ago. And so a lot of the kind of what would be termed as, town or city types of parts of that movie were filmed right here in the Stockyards.
And that's the one that had Tim McGraw in it, right?
Correct. Yep.
That's what I thought, because I haven't, it's funny because I talk about Yellowstone and all this kind of stuff and the horse industry and everything, but I have yet to even watch it. But I did see, kept seeing, advertisements and stuff for Tim McGraw, and I'm like, and isn't Faith Hill in it, too, or does some cameos?
Yeah, no, Tim McGraw and Faith Hill were probably the kind of the main characters within it. And so they basically were a big portion of it, and they had many, many other, big time, movie stars more, than what Yellowstone has, Yellowstone definitely have Kevin Costner, or at least did until this year. They had a lot of different ones there.
Yeah. Now, as far as the, general consensus of American paint horse, we obviously know what a paint horse is. APHA has grown just so much over the last couple of years, aside from all of this Hollywood stuff, because you guys have started putting your hands into all types of other incentives, particularly the ranch deal, and all of that kind of stuff. Do you think that has helped keep paint horse secluded as the breed, or do you think that it is hurted in any type of way?
I don't really think it's hurt it. Now, that would be obviously a matter of opinion. It certainly has helped us, as far as the association and that type of thing. Many folks, or I shouldn't say many, a few folks feel as though it's hurt it from the standpoint that they're not seeing those, loud color Overos and those types of horses as much, when you really look at what the qualifications of being a paint horse is, okay, a lot of that's based on, genetics and things of that nature, and they're still registered as paint horses, okay, but mm-hmm. It certainly has expanded our industry a great deal. What we've done here basically is we knew that with regards to the way that the paint horse was extremely popular back in about 2006, 2004, in that time frame, it was a very active show from the standpoint of our world show, and we had a lot of people that were involved in it at that stage of the game. I believe we had somewhere around 100,000 members at that point in time. And
oh, wow.
Then with 2008, which impacted the entire horse industry, and the Western industry in general, and basically it dropped off over the years, down to right now. Currently, we have about 41,000 members worldwide. But we knew over the past, 8, 9 years or so that we needed to make some changes, and we mm-hmm. needed to try and reach out to those folks that may have horses that qualified to be paints, because we see probably about, I'm going to say 10 to 11% of our membership actively showing in paint horse shows, not only at our world show, but paint shows throughout the country. Well, what are the rest of those 80% or 90% doing? Well, what we've determined basically is they're still actively showing, and I won't say all of them are, okay, but a good portion of them are actively showing, but many of them are actively showing in discipline-specific types of things, such as reining, cutting, cow horse, roping, those types of activities. And they're actively showing with those paint horses in those areas, but they're just not showing at our world show or in paint shows, So what we felt like we had to do is we had to actually reach out, okay, to those people and meet them where they're showing, you know, and that would be in the National Reining Cowhorse Association, the National the Cutting Horse Association, the Reining Horse Association, roping horse fraternities, all of those types of things. And the way we went about doing that, okay, was to develop a program we call Chrome Cash, okay? And Chrome Cash is actually it's a side pot type of thing where we actually go to various shows, okay, or various organizations, and we put side pot money into that and then have registered paint horses as well as members of the Paint Horse Association that show in those shows. They can enter a side pot and then, you know, within that, whatever shows that we haven't applied to, and they can gain more money or get more money from that. So I just found out actually this morning that the amount of money that we paid out in Chrome Cash this year, okay, in the cutting, exceeded $1 million this year.
Holy cow.
So that's a big number. Now, a lot of that is related to the fact that those folks are entering that side pot. So most of that money that their entry fee is, okay, goes back into that side pot. And then oftentimes in certain classes or certain shows, we actually add some money into that also. So that helps a great deal. But the number of horses that are actually participating in it, for instance, I don't know the exact number, but I think it was over 300 or 400 horses, okay, in the recent NCHA fraternity were entered in Chrome Cash, okay? And it used to be that you might see one or two paints, you know, but now you're seeing that. Now in the actual reining horse fraternity that just happened a few weeks ago, we had, I think, over 120 horses that were entered in Chrome Cash at that particular thing. So,
well, I mean, and a lot of people, I think a lot of people don't realize too that, you know, when you first say paint horse, you think flashy, white, brown, all this like just flash. But there's a lot of paint horses that are classified and registered as paints that don't necessarily have as much chrome, and they can still qualify. And those horses are competing all over the place, not just at your average, what you would think would be just a paint horse show that has a little bit of everything. So I didn't even know this existed. That's even more of a reason to get a paint horse.
Right. Yeah. And that's, you know, and I mean, we basically have reached out. We started in the cutting horse industry primarily because we felt like, number one, that's probably going to be the most difficult. So if this program was going to work and if this program was going to progress, then let's go to probably the toughest place, you know, to get one started, okay? We also knew that we could potentially make some changes. We could make some mistakes with regards to that, and we could make those adjustments, you know, within that particular industry easier than we could in some other areas. But, for instance, if you go to the reining, you know, there's all kinds of paint horses, you know, and there's some loud ones. There's obviously a lot of bald face ones and that type of thing. You're seeing more and more of them showing up in the roping. And so that's, again, what we tried to do is we went and we basically reached out to those folks that are participating in more discipline-specific areas and started to, you know, basically provide more incentive for them to do that by earning some more money, which that's why they show in those shows anyways, you know, is they were looking for money, whereas most of the paint horse shows don't have money associated with it. It's just strictly points and awards.
Yeah, you are correct. I think money has, well, you can probably agree with this. You see more and more money being an incentive for people to show and as a reward versus actual things, because, you know, back in the day, you didn't really hear of jackpots and side pots outside of the rodeo aspect of horses. You know, that was like kind of secluded to them where you heard about money, and now you're starting to see it more and more everywhere. Do you think that's a good thing?
Oh, I think it's a great thing, personally. Now, I come from that world, you know. So, I mean, I wouldn't go back to, you know, when I was young and I was a youth kid and that type of thing. I mean, yes, we showed in these shows and we got points and we did all of that type of thing. But in time, you know, you realize that that cost a lot of money. It cost a lot of money to have the horses, cost a lot of money to go to the shows and that type of thing. So why not go to an event where you can win some money back and help to pay for some of those expenses?
Yeah, I definitely agree, because I joke with my parents now, like, we did fun shows and 4-H and stuff, and I'm like, why don't we do something where we could get some money? And now everybody's doing money, and it's like, well, dang, maybe I should buy a horse and show, but that's not going to happen. So I'm glad you just said that. Now, you have a background. You grew up around horses and showing horses and stuff. What did you do, paint horses and just pleasure, or what exactly did you guys grow up doing?
Predominantly, we started out in the 4-H, you know, and open shows for a little bit, you know, and then we went into quarter horse, you know, and when I was, you know, in the open shows and things of that nature. Yes, I mean, one of the first horses I had was an actual paint horse, you know, more of a paint pony, you know, type of thing, and, you know, and did fairly well with that. And then we moved into the quarter horse world and, you know, showed a great deal in that. And in fact, our entire family was very involved in that. You know, my father was a veterinarian. And so, my, you know, and my mother, you know, oftentimes ran and, you know, actually managed shows and things of that nature. And so we were very involved in the industry. My brother, you know, went into it full time and is a professional horse trainer and, has done extremely well in that area. And I'm the only other one in our family. You know, we have a family of four, we have three boys and one girl, and my older brother, he is, you know, like I said, he's very prominent in the reining cow horse world and in the reining horse world. You know, my other brother, I think, would do it and would show if he, you know, just had the time to do it, but doesn't really have the time. And I'm certainly involved in it more on the association and the business end of things.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really cool, and I don't think a lot of people realize that, because horse people, like, really good horse trainers, and I don't mean to offend anybody when I say this, but they're not necessarily really smart on business and people. And so, it, you know, it's really cool if you're ever in the situation where you can kind of have a little bit of both worlds, because, you know, it is still a business at the end of the day. You know, me and Billy kind of touched on this a little bit. It's hard to keep that in perspective when you're working with animals and you're doing all this kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, all these shows, all these associations, all the training, everything, it's a business, you know? So you got to run it like that. And it's hard to do that sometimes, but.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I mean, it's important to be a horseman, you know, but
right.
It's also important to be a business horseman too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like horse people, we're all like, it's funny because I think the really, really, really good ones, they're not necessarily people, they're horse people, you know, they would rather be around horses and deal with horses versus people. And then you have other aspects in it, where people are really, really good with people and they help the business side of it to help it grow all together. You know, it's definitely a team. Now I also wanted to kind of talk to you a little bit about, American Paint Horse and how you guys have, what you have done to stay separated and to not let it get too muddy, because, you know, there has been a lot of question at some point in time, and over the years things spark up where different breed associations, they're like, okay, well, we're letting too much of this in, too much of that in, or it's getting too complicated. You know, what do you think paint has done or continues to do to make sure that they stay true to the breed and what exactly the breed is, despite all of the growth that kind of surrounds that?
I think that, you know, probably the one thing that I feel is like going to impact our association more than anything that we've done in the past couple of years is something that we will start in January of 2025. And that particular aspect is called paint, and it's PAYNT points.
Okay. Oh, cool.
We have for years, we've basically have points that we give to each one of our, you know, anybody that, you know, first place gets, you know, depending on the number of people in the class, certain number of points, second place gets certain, you know, a little bit less, those types of things. Same thing happens with the quarter horse. But it's just points, and it's never really been much of beyond that type of thing, except for some awards and things of that nature at the end of the year. If you, you know, got enough points, your horse gets an ROM or, you know, a Register of Merit or those types of things. And it used to be that that's what qualified you to kind of be able to go show at the World Show. I don't think ever since COVID, everybody's kind of done away with the qualification end of things, you know, going to the World Show. We certainly have. But what we are going to do starting in 2025 is we're going to have a program that's called Paint Points. And what that is we are actually going to pay money per point for those people that are showing in paint horse shows, okay, which is something drastically different than the industry has ever done, okay? And so it's not going to be a huge amount of money, but it's going to be some money, okay? Mm-hmm. And so those equitation, hunter under saddle, you know, pleasure horses, the types of classes and that, those are the classes that we will actually pay. We will pay basically on a six-month basis, you know, will be a number of points that they got. We're going to pay essentially $10 per point, okay, that individual or that horse has won, okay, during that period of time. Okay, so we'll pay once in, let's say July, and then we'll pay another one in December.
That is a really great incentive because it'll keep, now, not everybody can put on a paint show, correct?
That is correct, yes. Yeah, we sanction, and I don't know the exact number, but I would say somewhere around 240, 250 shows that we approve, okay, throughout the United States, or actually it's out throughout the world each year, okay? And so that's where those types of, you know, that they can get that points, you know, for winning, doing that type of thing, you know, at those particular shows.
You just made me think about something else that we kind of talked on before. Paint is worldwide. I don't think, like, I didn't even realize that. Maybe I just, like, you get, like, you're living under a rock and you're like, okay, let's just paint horses in America. But, no, you guys are worldwide. You're everywhere.
Yes. Currently, we're in about 37 different countries, okay? Obviously, the United States is the biggest, you know. But we have a huge contingency in Europe. I'll say Europe because it, you know, consists of Germany, you know, France, you know, Italy. Those are kind of the concentrated areas, you know. In fact, I was on a phone call earlier this morning where we're doing a program which is called our QSP, which is Qualified Sampling Program, that we do in conjunction with the USDA, okay. And our division of the USDA, it's the USLGE, you know, which is the United States genetic livestock type of thing. So we do a program in conjunction with them, okay, to where we basically try and improve, okay, or, you know, improve the breed in various countries. And so I was on the phone this morning talking with one of our representatives or one of our employees who's actually based in the south of France.
Oh, wow. And
she handles all of our international type of thing. And she's in the process of working through a program in Denmark, okay, to where essentially we will buy, help improve the breed in Denmark. And so those are types of programs that we have done, you know, over the past several years, you know, in conjunction with the USLGE.
So. Yeah, because how long has the American Paint Horse Association been around?
1962 is when it actually started. So, and it was actually
Holy cow.
you know, American Stock Horse, you know, Paint Stock Horse Association, and then there was another division that was called the American Quarter Horse Paint Association. You know, those two kind of merged, and our actual founder, you know, who is Rebecca Tyler Lockhart, okay, she actually, in fact, her husband was president of the American Quarter Horse Association at the time. And they had a number of horses that basically would qualify as paint horses, okay? AQHA would not register them because they had either a spot or they had, you know, they were your regular kind of, you know, flashy paint horses. They were of a breed, okay, from the standpoint that they had a sire and dam that were both registered quarter horses, but they wouldn't register them because they had white above the knee or a hock, and, you know, above the outside the eye, you know, on the face. Okay. So they just would not register those horses. Well, she had a number of horses that fell into that kind of category, and she felt like they were still good horses, but her husband, as well as the association, AQHA, would not register those horses. So she said, fine, I'll start my own association. And she did. And so that's when...
That's pretty awesome.
Yep. That is when the actual Paint Horse Association was started, and it was started basically out of a garage, you know, here in North Texas, and that's where things got started with it.
I didn't know that, and that's funny because her husband was the president of AQHA.
Yep.
And that's so awesome. I didn't know that. Now, real quick, I wanted to circle back around to the American Paint Horse World Show. So I think a lot of people, I didn't know this, and I know a lot of people didn't know this, but the World Show covers a little bit of everything. Like, you guys do roping there, you do barrel racing, you do reining, you do all everything there, correct? It's not just a limited show.
That's correct, yes. We do pretty much most every discipline. I mean, obviously there's a few that we do not do, you know, like we don't have a dressage component of it, but we do have a jumping portion. We have barrels, we have roping, we have reining, we have cutting, we have cow horse, you know, we have pleasure, you know, all of those types of things. We even have halter that we do, you know, at as kind of a separate show just because it worked out better that way. Yeah. So it, you know, it's the type of thing where we do almost every discipline, which makes it very complicated in doing a show of that nature, because oftentimes the ground is different, you know, in various disciplines. And so you gotta, you know, change the ground. You gotta do those types of things for each one of the different, disciplines, oftentimes, and then obviously the setup of the arena sometimes is very different also.
Yeah, because I mean, I was under the impression for a long time that it didn't include some of the other special disciplines, because it wouldn't be, it would be harder on the show committee to do something like that. So when I found that out, I was like, that's a lot, because it's a pretty long show. Now those points are what you know, the accolades that you acquire during the World Paint Show, the exhibitors there get there through the points that they get throughout the year, correct? And then they
That's
get
correct. Yeah.
Points from APHA.
That is correct, yes.
Okay. Got you. Because it can be a little confusing. Yeah, it can be a little confusing. And now the paint use, that's not a completely separate club from APHA. It's kind of like a spinoff, but they have their own show too, correct?
We do not separate it out. It's in conjunction with our World Show, but it's okay. That, you know, we have a section of the, basically it's the first 3 or 4 days of our World Show is all youth. All the classes are all related to youth classes. And we do that primarily for the purposes of, you know, keeping that group, you know, and schedule-wise, you know, it's a much easier way to deal with it that way. So we used to have a whole separate show, but we changed that probably about 5 years ago, and we put it in conjunction with our actual World Show.
Gotcha. Now, to get to the World Show, people have to show in their local paint shows, and then they make it to the world show. You guys have paint associations in pretty much every state. Is that right? Or is it pretty easy for somebody to get started in Paint Horse?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, you know, components of it in every state and, you know, in 37 different countries, you know. And so very seldom do we see many of those international folks coming to our world show. But,
right.
For instance, this past year, you know, we had our youth, you know, world finals. And we had actually 11 different countries represented at our world show in that particular, you know, program last year, or in 2024. So, I mean, we had, you know, Germany, Great Britain, France, Italy. Can't think of all of them. I know, you know,
right.
Mexico was there, you know, Canada was there. And so all of those competed in a team tournament type of thing.
You just made me think about something. So that is pretty cool. Now, do you get to associate with all of these different, you said you were on the phone with a representative from South Africa, right? Do you get to interact with all of these people across in different countries? What do you think is the biggest difference between the way they handle things versus what you see in America? Is there anything that like sticks out to you that you just think is a really different?
I don't think there's really any difference, you know, in the way they handle things and the way they do things just because of their sanctioned or approved events that we approve. So we have obviously many rules that are related to that type of thing, which every show
right.
needs to apply to, you know. But the numbers are what's really different. I mean, basically the largest, you know, paint horse show obviously is the world show. Okay. It goes on for about 17 days. I think this
yeah.
past year we had right around, you know, 1,500 horses that showed up at that particular show, okay.
Holy cow.
And then, you know, we had, you know, somewhere around 5,200 entries during that 17-day period. But the second actual largest show, okay, it happens in Germany every year, and that's the Europaint. And they have, you know, somewhere around, you know, 800, 900 horses that actually come to that event. And it's a very big show, and it's done in Germany pretty much every year.
This is so fascinating to me. Now, do they do team roping over there? Do they do hunt seat? Like, what's the main discipline that you know that they do over there?
Most of it is pleasure, you know, hunt seat, those types of things. They do not, in most all European countries, Italy with the being the exception of that, most of them do not have the ability to do cattle events.
It's
something that the European group, you know, basically does not allow you to work cattle, I guess is the best way to describe that, you know. So Italy is
how
different.
Interesting.
Yeah, you know, Italy, you can do cutting there, you can do that, but they feel it basically is, you know, is inappropriate to actually work and move cattle in that manner.
I did not know that. That is very interesting to me that they view it like that because, you know, I had an episode with a lady who's really big into mules, and we talked about the mule industry growing and all that good stuff. And, do you guys have any paint mules? Is that a thing?
No, in order to be a paint horse, okay, you basically have to have quarter horse background, a lineage, okay, or
uh-huh.
you have to have thoroughbred or paint horse,
oh.
okay? So those are the only, you know, the breeds essentially that we
uh-huh.
do that. I mean, it started obviously from the quarter horse world,
right.
you know, and it was just, they were basically quarter horses that had the spots that AQHA would not register, okay?
Right.
Then thoroughbreds basically became part of that also. And, I mean, we actually have a division, you know, in our association for doing racing, you know, and, you know, kind of same as the quarter horse, you know, it's down track, straight line type of racing. And we have, you know, paint horse racing also.
Yeah, well, what I was getting at was that, well, That's funny. I didn't know if you would have that or not. What I was getting at was me and her were talking about how somebody had brought up the random idea to use mini mules and work them, and all of a sudden everybody was like, no, it's just not right. It just don't feels right. That's probably where the Germans are coming from because, you know, I could see someone looking at it from that perspective for the cow, but that's very interesting they don't do that over there.
Yeah. So that's what makes that complicated, mm-hmm. But they do, you know, a lot of the pleasure horses, obviously, the jumping, the English, you know, the hunt seat. And what we've found, another area that's growing quite a bit is what is, you know, basically called the ranch horse, you know, type of thing. In fact,
yes.
We recently started the International Ranch Horse Association, and it's basically set up to kind of put some kind of guidelines on doing ranch horse, and that form of ranch horse, okay, consists of essentially three different classes, and that would be a ranch trail, a ranch pleasure, and what they would call is kind of a ranch rail type of a class, okay? And so that's kind of those three classes, which does not include, working cattle. And that's
right.
Basically why we did it more international. We'll do some here in the United States, too. And it's become extremely popular over the past, 4 or 5 years.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, the light bulb just went off. That's why it's International Ranch Horse and you don't have the working cows like we do, because I've spoken to other kind of ranch horse associations that are more American related. They're not like international like you guys. So that makes complete sense. Now, American Paint Horse started International Ranch Horse Association, or did somebody else? I thought a man named Daniel did it, or no?
Daniel Patton, basically, along with us, we actually started it. You know, so Daniel Patton, he was kind of the thought process behind it, you know, but certainly felt like he needed to have an association that was joined in with it.
Yeah.
And so we were that association that he went with to try to help do that. You know, he looked at trying to do it in some other areas, and it just seemed to fit with us better than any other. So
I did not know this. Okay. All right. This is very interesting information. Now, it's funny that you are correct about the whole ranch because, well, you grew up around horses. I did too. It kind of, ranch was not a thing back then, and it has absolutely just blown up. And do you think it's because it's it's very competitive, but more of a laid-back environment versus your typical, you know, I've asked a lot of people this question, your typical pleasure-type environment that seems very, I don't want to say it's uptight, that's the wrong word. I feel like a lot of people I talk to like ranch, and they want to show ranch, and they move from other disciplines to ranch because it can be a little more laid-back for the exhibitor and the horse, but still be just as competitive. Do you think that's true, and that's kind of why Paint has done that?
I think definitely it's true, okay? I think the other factor is that, you know, we've all heard a lot of the negatives related to, you know, how some of the pleasure horses are going and how that is. And so I think a large group of those people basically feel like it's a better movement of the horse, okay? It's a better, mm-hmm. And you can do different types of things. It's not, and nothing against the pleasure, nothing against that type of thing. It's just people have gravitated towards this because it's, you know, it's more fun in their minds, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's, you know, it's the type of thing that the horse moves a little bit freer and, you know, and is not so collected, you know.
Well, yeah, and probably the cost perspective of it. I mean, we weren't high class in any shape or form, but, I mean, you've got pleasure saddles that are $25,000, and you have outfits that are, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000. You know, you could turn around and put, I mean, you've got ranch saddles, which aren't any less quality. They're just as good, you know,
right.
But you could drop $5,000 on a ranch saddle and maybe $1,000 on a decent outfit and go show more classes in ranch with a really good horse versus how pleasure is. You know, it could be really expensive to ride in some of those pleasure shows.
Absolutely.
That might be an aspect of it, too.
Yeah, and I think it definitely is. You know, I mean, I think that, you find the folks that maybe go and try it really start to enjoy it, and you know, it's not as, as complicated as, doing, the cattle type of ranch, and it's not as complicated as doing reining and that type of thing, but it has elements of those various disciplines within the actual ranch.
I've seen nothing but people just continuous to go. I'm glad paint decided to do that. That was obviously a good decision. Now, the International Ranch Horse Association, it has quite a lot of incentives that have been brought up, I know, in the reining, in the cutting, and the reined cow horse to get. Don't you guys have a little bit of that going on?
Yes, yeah. I mean,
Okay,
basically,
that's
it's
what I thought.
a lot of those horses that are shown, okay, in the ranch horse and in our international ranch horse, and we also have another component that Daniel, kind of started the idea, and that was that of the Ranch Horse Triple Crown Challenge, okay, and it's because of the three classes, and he again, worked with us in actually putting that particular event on. But that event, pays out quite a bit of money, and we hold that during our world show also. And so it's been a really good addition to our world show. We started about 4 years ago. And I think, there was classes this past year where we had 100 to 120 horses in that class alone, in one of those three classes. And so it's helped to really, increase the participation at our world shows.
I saw quite a lot about it, and I thought, well, that's really nice. That's very interesting because I did see a lot of payouts go out for that, and I was wondering what the Triple Crown was within the International Ranch Horse. So thank you for clarifying that. I wanted to go off onto another little topic that we talked about last time. The magazines that Paint Horse has. We talked about the Crow magazine and then the other publication. I didn't know you guys had two separate publications.
Yes, we have two separate publications. We have our Crow magazine, which is predominantly more of a Western lifestyle type of a magazine. We started that about, oh, I think, 7, 8 years ago. And, it was basically set up, and it was kind of an idea of, Dr. Billy Smith, who used to be our executive director here, and he felt like, we needed to better promote, the Western lifestyle within the paint horse industry, and it has become a very, very popular and a very sought after type of a publication. And then we have a second publication, which is called our Paint Horse Journal, and that is kind of, I would say, more the nuts and bolts of the show industry or the paint horse industry. It has to do with breeding, showing, and horsemanship with regards to the paint horses. Not that there aren't some elements of that in Chrome too, but it's more focused towards that.
Well, yeah, because it made me think. I don't know if we talked about this before, but it kind of made me think a little bit. Aside from the COVID days, which were a couple of years that came in and the peak and then went out, your average horse person, ag person, ranch person, whatever have you, they're really not online a lot. They're out doing stuff like it's, they're out doing things. And so I thought that that was real kind of interesting that paint is kind of has something that isn't necessarily advertise related. I mean, obviously you can advertise in it, right? But it can be made more of a sense of a lookbook, a coffee book, something that's really nice to have your company in or something in for those people that aren't going to be on the internet that much.
So, and it's a coffee book style magazine. It's got bigger pages, print, the print's, really high quality, as well as the paper itself is very, very high quality paper. And so, and like I said, it's one, top magazine within the horse publication industry. It's won the top magazine, I think, several years in a row.
That's pretty cool. Because, you know, horse people are one, I want to say, are a little more old school than everybody else. You know, we stick to the things that, like magazines, and just general hard work. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah. I won't say that it's not easy. I mean, it is not easy. The publication portion of that is a difficult thing, and to try and make it work because of the cost of publishing these, you know, various magazines.
Yeah.
I mean, we used to do it, you know, the Chrome was always done basically three times a year, you know, and it was set up initially to be kind of a quarterly magazine, but we went with just three issues, you know, and then our Paint Horse Journal used to be every month. And now it's cut down to basically a quarterly magazine just because of the cost of it has gotten to be so, you know, so exorbitant, and the amount of people that actually advertise or do that just don't advertise that much anymore.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's so people just hop on the Internet. I mean, I know I just said that most horse people aren't on the Internet a lot, but when you go to buy something and purchase something, they're going to get in their car and go up the road to a place they already know, or they're going to hop on the Internet. It's crazy just to see how the Internet has done so much for business in general.
Absolutely, yeah. A lot of people I deal with, they all say that the digital piece of advertising is much more the direction they'd like to go.
Yeah. You and I talked about that because you guys offer, you know, email blasts, you offer social media stuff, you offer all kinds of stuff for advertising. I didn't even think that the breed associations did that. And so this is all new to me. It's great, but it's new.
Yep. Now we try to be, current as much as we can, you know, you know, we've got some very smart young folks that understand it a whole lot better than I do as an old man. you know, we try to be as current as we can in this area.
Yeah. Now, where do you see paint? Do you see paint continuing to grow next year? Because the next World Show is going to be in the end of July. Is that already increasing from this past year?
We've had an increase basically every year. Hasn't been a significant increase, you know, but we've had an increase every year over the past 4 or 5 years, you know. And so, you know, we see that growing. We see it, basically changing, you know, a lot of times. We've had to kind of adapt and change with that. You know, things like the Ranch Horse Triple Crown Challenge, you know, some of the other events that we have during our World Show, which we have a Rope Horse Futurity. We have those types of things that are put on during our show, okay? And they may not all be paint horses, okay? They may be open to other breeds, and they are, you know, open to other breeds. But then we incentivize the paint horse within those areas. So we have classes that we do, and we've had to go down that road in order to basically keep these shows, you know, productive.
So let's say somebody has a quarter horse, they don't have a paint horse. They can come show at the Paint World Show?
In certain classes, correct.
I didn't know this, but they just won't be, obviously, because they don't have a paint horse. They won't get the incentives of having a paint, you know, paint horse would have.
That's correct. And what we basically try to do is we feel like if they've got a, you know, and it's more so trainers and things of that nature, but if they've got, you know, three quarter horses and they've got, you know, two paint horses, and they want to come to our show, they can now load all those horses up and come to our show, and they can show in the paint with things, and they can show the quarter horses in certain classes, okay? And so it's the type of thing that, you know, shows has kind of taken that route, and we see a lot of shows that, you know, have you know, even, you know, like the Sun Circuit, which is a huge show in Arizona every year, Court Horse Congress, they have, you know, paint classes that are within those shows, you know, throughout each year, and they've done that for several years.
I've seen advertisements for the Sun Circuit. I did not know that. I mean, obviously, American Quarter Horse Congress, they have specific classes for paint horses as well, because can you have a double registered horse?
Yes.
Registered quarter horse and paint?
Yes, you can. And essentially what that is because of the fact that the American Quarter Horse Association changed their requirements, okay, to if you have a sire that's a quarter horse and a dam that's a quarter horse, then you are eligible. And it used to be based on you couldn't if there was a white above the knees and above the hocks. They changed that rule, and I think it was like in 2016 or something of that nature, to the fact where they allowed those horses now to be in their regular registry. Okay. So they, you know, those horses can be in that, but the color then allows them to be registered paint horses also. So we see a lot of horses now that are double registered.
That was always really, and I know this sounds dumb, but that was always kind of confusing to me, because I was like, how many times can you register a horse? You know, I thought that it would need to be kind of, you would need to pick one and stick with that. But I guess it's a good thing because, you know, they can rack up the points on both ends, on both sides.
Exactly. Yep.
It used to not be like that, and it makes it confusing sometimes. I know it's a great thing, but to people like me, I'm just still like, what? Which association you want to do? Pick one.
Well, and I think that that's the advantage of having a double registered horse, is that, you know, you may, you know, basically want to focus one way or the other, okay, but having the ability or the opportunity to go and show, you know, and in both of those areas, you know, both of those associations, I think it's an advantage, you know, and for the sense of the value of the horse, and we certainly see the value of a double registered horse, you know, increasing a great deal.
Well, yeah, because now, I mean, like you just said, now that horse and those people are eligible to get in other incentives that paint horse has, whatever discipline that they're in. They have the eligibility to get in incentives for whatever quarter horse has. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can definitely see that. It's just still, like, confusing, because you would think that they wouldn't be able to do that. But it's a good thing that you can do that.
Yes. And, you know, and I mean, the paint horse in general, I mean, that's where it started. They were quarter horses, you know.
Yeah.
And that's where it all originated from.
So why not?
Exactly.
Now, as far as the back to the International Ranch Horse Association, you said you guys started that, what, 4 years ago?
Actually, we started it about 3 years ago, and we started the actual Ranch Horse Triple Crown Challenge, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago, and we started that particular thing, and that was in connection with, you know, Daniel, and he came to us and said he had this idea, you know, and wanted to have, you know, this type of a show, and was willing to help us financially with regards to doing it, and so we started it, and, you know, first year was pretty good, you know. We had a number of folks that, you know, wanted to come and felt like once they got there and once they showed in it, they really enjoyed it, you know. And so it about almost doubled the second year, and it's grown every year since then, okay. And then, you know, in connection with that, that's when we started the International Ranch Horse division of it, and we do what's called our International Ranch Horse World Show at our World Show also.
Mm-hmm. Now, they don't have to have a paint horse to show in the International Ranch
that
Horse
is,
Association.
That is correct. Yes, that is
okay.
Correct.
I just wanted to clarify that. So any horse can come and show in the International Ranch Horse Association, but obviously within that show at the World Show, are there incentives if you are a paint and showing ranch horse?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I was trying to simplify it a little bit. Now, what exactly is the Triple Crown Challenge?
That basically is, you know, the three classes, okay, which is the Ranch Trail, Ranch Rail, okay, and Ranch Pleasure. Okay. Those are the three classes that you can show in. So an individual may want to show a horse in one of the three, okay, or they may want to show a horse in all three. Obviously, for the most part, they want to show them in all three classes. So what you do is you can win money out of just one of those classes, okay, or you can show your horse in all three. And I think this past year we had one, an individual, Bud Lyons, that actually showed and won each of those divisions in the Rancho's Triple Crown Challenge and got extra incentive money for doing that.
Oh, cool. Oh, okay. Well, that makes way more sense when you explain it. So that's why it's called the Triple Crown. Okay. Well,
Exactly.
that's really nice. And I believe I saw a post on Tim winning it. It was that was a pretty decent payout.
Yeah, I believe last year I think he won somewhere around $78,000 in that 4 or 5 day period of showing and that thing.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought it was at least $50,000. I can't find the post right now to confirm that, but that's really nice. And it's even cooler that non-paint horses are able to show in this, because when you said that you guys started it, that was the first thing that crossed my brain was, oh, okay, well, it has to be a paint horse. But no, that's really cool that paint is evolving to keep the actual paint horse special, but also include other horses. Do you think that's kind of the key to the growth that APHA has seen?
Oh, I think to a degree, yes, it is, because obviously what our objective is in doing those types of things, again, is to, to have a productive show, but more importantly, is to encourage people when they come to our show, okay, and may want to bring quarter horses or something of that nature, and they come and they see that there's extra incentive money for having paints, that they either load their paint horse up, and bring that with them, or they decide, you know what, I'm going to go get a paint horse, or I want to go get a double register horse so I can show in their stuff also.
Yeah. Yeah. Which that makes it even better for everyone all around.
Yep.
How cool. I have learned so much in this conversation that I did not know existed. So that's really cool because, if I hadn't had this conversation with you, I wouldn't have understood that kind of how some of this works. So there's no telling what other people just kind of assume the same thing that I assume when they see it and not know everything that there is to know about it. So that's really awesome.
Yeah, it's, again, in this industry and with a breed association, you got to be innovative. Okay. You got to adapt to the way things are, and again, we saw it over the years, where there was somewhat of an exodus from people that wanted to show at the World Show. And, that type of thing, didn't become as important as it once was, is to have a horse that's a world champion, and they moved into more discipline specific. So in order to basically reach those people and in order to, to attract some of those people to be members, to, be involved with the Paint Horse Association, we decided to reach out to those disciplines and reach out to those areas and provide incentive of money in those actual events. So.
Yeah, it's pretty smart. Because like I said before, even to Billy, APHA has just like grown in leaps and bounds because they really have kind of separated themselves out a little bit from just being a breed association, what you think a breed association is, versus a organization that's really more all around and offering a lot of more all around things. It's not just, okay, well, you register your horse here, we'll just get your yearly membership, we won't talk to you again. Paint's really kind of raised the bar when it comes to that. I've felt that for a couple of years now.
Well, we appreciate you saying that, and we certainly have tried to do that. I don't say that we're always successful, but, like I said, if you were to just look at those individuals that are showing in paint shows, that's about 10 or 11% of our membership.
Yeah.
So how do we, still attract and how do we still reach those members? We go to where they are, you know. And so that's what's been very, very helpful. I mean, like I told you with the Chrome Cash piece, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. we paid out over $1 million this year in cutting, and we will pay out probably right with all the disciplines that we do, you know, with the Chrome Cash. We'll pay out over $1.2 million this year in Chrome Cash money.
The million Chrome Cash was only in the NCHA.
Only in cutting, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
So.
That's impressive. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, and it has made a big impact. It really has. You know, I mean, it's, you know, we get people that, you know, are calling. We have one individual that works for us she does a phenomenal job. But, I mean, she gets calls, you know, constantly about, hey, you know, I've got this horse, and I think it's, you know, able to be registered. And so she said, well, let's look at it and let's see, and let's, you know, get some pictures and get all that type of thing. And she's probably, you know, been responsible for you know, anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500 registrations every year, you know, just
That's amazing to me. You know, like I just said a minute ago, you know, you think APHA, okay, well, they're just a breed association. You just register your horse and go on about your life. But the fact that you guys go above and beyond and do more than everything else that is really required is, I think, is why you guys just keep growing and are going to continue to grow, because it's not just a breed association. You know, I mean, that's crazy to me. It's really cool. It makes you want to show cutting horses.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I mean, you know, you look at some of the associations, you know, and nothing against them, but you look at
right.
the Appaloosa Association, you look at the Palomino Association, and those associations have gone to the point where they just really don't even exist anymore, you know, and it's because they, you know, don't really have the broad view that we do, you know. And so in order for us to, you know, to actually continue to make it work and continue to improve the paint horse breed, you know, mm-hmm. We basically have decided to go this direction, and it's been very, very helpful.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's obviously it has. I mean, you know, like you're absolutely right. Not that they're non-existent. They're just not front, face, and center. I definitely appreciate you taking the time to chat with me about all of this and talk about all of this, because like I just said, you know, if you don't know it exists, you don't know. You have no idea that it exists. And more people that know, the more people that can learn about it, the more people that can get in on it. So I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me about this.
My pleasure. So.
Yeah.